The book of Ecclesiastes, please. Chapter 12. Verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after rain. In the days when the keeper of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. I've read five verses to emphasize to you tonight three words. We have a description, despite the fact that one begins in youth, it's inevitable that other days will come. Days when the body will deteriorate. Days when life will be a burden. Days when thou shalt no longer say, I have pleasure in them. And all this description is coming down to me, this very weighty expression, man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. His long home. Doesn't that strike you as a strange expression? You understand what a Christian means when he says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Don't you be feeling sorry for it. Because your home is not here, and my home is not here. You and I were not destined to be here forever. You and I are going to find a home beyond this world. Every one of us. There may be some that are younger in the meeting tonight, and to you this really is a strange message, because you're making your plans to be here for a long time. You've never thought of the possibility that the day will come, and you'll no longer be here. There are some here, and they're older, and they're very glad that they have a home beyond this world. They found that this world doesn't satisfy. They're glad that there's something more beyond this world, and they are looking onward to their long home. I remember reading in history books when I was schooling about the Dark Ages. And you know what made them dark now, don't you? The problem was, in those Dark Ages, people were otherworldly. That's what the history book said. They thought so much of the next world, and they weren't so concerned about this world. Well, I can tell you there are a lot of reasons why those days would be called the Dark Ages, but that's not the first reason. There's some light in that. When men begin to realize that the most important of all considerations is not this world. You and I are made for another world. And I want to emphasize tonight that you and I are going to our long home. It's the place where we will be at home forever. And I want to ask you the question tonight, my friend, younger or older, are you absolutely sure as to where you are going to be spending your long home? Forever. either in heaven or in the blackness of hell in the lake of fire without end. Very simply and plainly tonight, let there be no mistake. There is no other place. When you and I have gone to our own home, the veil is closed behind us, and we will find ourselves either in heaven or in hell. Well, I would like to entreat you tonight to realize this. There is nothing else that matters but to be sure that your long home is heaven. Your home is not here, no matter how palatial it may be. Your home is not here, no matter for how many years you have laid your plans. Your home is in another world. Your long home, forever. I want to speak then very simply about a home of inexpressible glory and a home of inexpressible beauty. I hope, as you have already been hearing, that you will have your interest deepened tonight beyond every other interest to be sure that your long home will be heaven. And I hope that God will impress some souls in the meeting tonight with this. If I miss everything else in this world, oh God, help me to make sure that I miss hell for eternity. I can hardly express to you, begin to express to you, what it will be like to be in heaven. You might not even agree with me just at the moment, but I'm a young man. And I'm longing to go to heaven. I have been impressed in the last few years with a hymn. I can go over some of the music to it, but I can go over hardly any words to it because there's just one line in it that I like. But I'm looking forward to the Lord Jesus coming. Every person that is saved understands from the Word of God that at any moment the Lord Jesus may come to the air, and every person who is saved will leave earth for heaven. In a moment, I will blink my eyes on earth, and without knowing what has happened, I will be at home. But the hymn writer was thinking about the possibility of death. Someday, I'll be sleeping, and death knocks at my door, and I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore. I'll be home. And I tell you, that's a great joy to think of living in a world with this prospect. Well, I like to drive carefully. People with me don't always believe me, but I like to drive carefully. I'm not interested in an accident. I'm not interested in a speedy exodus. But I'm interested at any moment in being at home. A few years ago, I had the privilege of speaking for the last time with my Uncle John McCracken. Now, many of the folks here tonight will know that he was having trouble with his memory in the last years of his life. So, his son-in-law, my cousin's husband, said to me, "Now, David, he'll sit beside you and he'll ask you when it's time to start the meeting. And you tell him when it's time to start the meeting. And tell him to pray if he hesitates. And tell him when it's time to preach." So I was prepared. And finally the time came and he looked over to me and I said, "Go ahead, we might as well give out a hymn." So we get up with his hymn. "Since Christ my soul from sin set free, this world has been a heaven to me." And he stopped. I thought he's lost his connection. He stopped right in the middle of it and began to speak. And he said, and he told when he was saved, and he said, "Since that time, this world has been a heaven to me." And he began to speak about the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus. And I thought, oh my, he's going to forget to pray. He's going to forget to have a thing. He's just going to speak. But then he just got right back to it. Because even if memory wasn't just exactly right, he would never forget the day he came to know the Lord Jesus. And to him, knowing the Lord Jesus, to everyone that knows the Lord Jesus, it's just a little touch of heaven to know him. What would it be like when those that have come to know him in this world will lift up their... No, no.
when we will lift up our eyes
and behold the one that will make heaven heaven for us. I want to tell you tonight that heaven, this different from all that I could describe to you, beyond all that I could express of what heaven will be, there is one thing that I'm interested in as far as heaven is concerned. I am going to see the man that died for me at Calvary. I would like to tell you tonight that you have absolutely no prospect of being in heaven if the Christ who died at Calvary has not won your heart. If, as you have listened to the message concerning the work that he finished at Calvary, it's been just a recitation of dry old facts, how will you ever enjoy heaven? Because all of heaven is going to be centering around the Redeemer. When you read in Revelation chapter 5 of that great multitude that is there, oh, what a wonderful scene that is. And everything is just silent with anticipation. And all that has to happen in that scene is the man that bears wounds will step into view. And the silence of heaven will be eternally broken. And they sang a new song. Thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and people and tongue and nation. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Heaven is thrilled, and men and women who are in heaven are filled with the joy that all centers around the Redeemer. Our joy tonight is to tell you about him. Our joy tonight is to tell you how you can come to an absolute assurance that heaven is your eternal home. And the only possible way is this. You'll have to come to know the Redeemer. You'll have to come to know the Lord Jesus. You will have to come to appreciate singularly the value of his death at Calvary. A lot of things people won't be singing in heaven. I'll tell you about some of these old songs that make the radio vibrate. They won't be singing those songs in heaven. You can't live without them now. Don't expect to be living without them in heaven. There'll be no singing in heaven about how good a life I've lived. There'll be no singing in heaven about how I was baptized. There'll be no singing in heaven about how I have given my money to support good causes. There'll be no singing in heaven about the fact that I went to a church where they preached right things. In fact, now you're just going to be shocked for a moment when I tell you that it's a good old hymn that we sing. This one's all right to sing, you know, on earth, but we won't be singing this in heaven. We sing on earth. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And then we sing, I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. Do you know that at least the first lines of that chorus won't be sung in heaven? We won't even be singing in heaven about how we believe. We won't even be singing in heaven about the joy we had when we trusted Christ. There is one thing in heaven that will fill the soul and the hearts of those who sing. We will be singing about the Lord Jesus. We will be singing about his precious blood. We will be singing about Calvary. We might be singing, you know, about the fact that it's finished. Oh, yes. Those are all the kinds of song that will fill heaven. The Redeemer is the center. And every person that is there is a redeemed man or woman. Oh, thank God for the truth we'll be resting. A rest and a joy in heaven. Now, you'll understand, I'm not just homesick yet. I mean, for my home, my short home on the other side of this continent. But when the time comes that these meetings are over, and the privilege of being in these parts is coming to a close, you'll understand me now. You won't hold this against me. I'll be thinking about getting home. And just to be able to go home to rest.
wonderful thing to be living in this world and to be looking forward to a home where there is eternal rest.
I've known, now you see, I'm using this word in two different ways. I have known something of the rest here. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I came. I found that my soul has peace tonight. I'm absolutely sure that my sins are forgiven. It's all through what he accomplished at Calvary's cross. But all that, just the foretaste. I am living in this world with this great assurance that the happiest moments of this world to me are only a foretaste of what will be forever. What I have enjoyed, what I am enjoying most in this world, I am going to be enjoying forever. There are people in the world tonight, and they have got to put everything they have got into it, because they won't be young in a few years, and they won't be able to enjoy those things anymore. And there are people that are ignoring the fact that they're putting all their life into things that they're only going to enjoy for a short time, and they're going to leave it behind forever, never to enjoy it in the next world.
I enjoy preaching. What I enjoy most about preaching is preaching about the Lord Jesus. What I enjoy most in this world, I will enjoy forever.
I've just got the first foretaste of it now.
And the rest that is mine and the joy and sins forgiven will be my eternal joy, rejoicing in heaven.
I want to emphasize then to you tonight that if you're interested in this heaven, if you're interested in being with the redeemed, if you're interested in joining in that song, then there's one place we want to bring you back to tonight. Dear soul, come to Calvary. This is where men and women start for heaven. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, that there might be some soul tonight that would come to Calvary, that would again hear the words we have been reminded of. It is finished. Heaven is available to you tonight, not by one work of your own, not by some good feeling that will somehow come over you. Heaven is available to you tonight on one grand condition, that the work is finished. And God is receiving sinners who seek nothing more than what is accomplished by Christ upon the cross. Oh, you don't need something to add to Calvary's work. Come tonight. Receive the rest. Receive the assurance. Tonight, simply take from the Word of God the value of that Redeemer's blood as enough to take you to heaven for eternity. That's not all the story. I gather from what I understand of the Word of God that God always intended to have men in heaven. Then someone will say, why didn't God simply just create men in heaven? I cannot tell you all the thoughts of God, but I understand this, that God wanted men who would be in heaven by choice. And in order to have men in heaven by choice, their own choice, he had to then allow the possibility that others would make a choice not to be there. My friend, tonight, understand clearly that where you will be in your long home forever will be a result of your own response to the message of the gospel, a result of your own response to the Christ who died at Calvary. And if you fail to respond to Christ and to come to trust him,
If you fail to take the message of God, God's record concerning His Son, then, my friend, let me tell you clearly, kindly, and with all the note of solemnity that God would write in your heart at the moment, your long home will be a home of inexpressible grief. There is one thing that I would like to make clear whenever we preach about the solemnity of hell. That home of inexpressible grief. There is one thing that I would like to have impressed upon everyone that hears the message. We are not first and foremost simply trying to present you something that will awaken you and alarm you and scare you. My friend, this evening I want to present to you the reality of a burning hell that you might realize the awful bitterness of sin. It is the result of sin that will draw men and women eternally into the darkness. As far as heaven is concerned, I have no question, I say from the Word of God, God always intended men to be there. As far as the lake of fire is concerned, I can only tell you this. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And men will only be there because of their own sin. My friend, tonight, as terrible as sin is, as terrible as hell is, let it underline to you tonight the great fact of how terrible then sin must be to God. You know, there are people, I'm not going to take sides on a political issue, but there are people that have lots of things to say about capital punishment, how cruel it is and all the rest, until a crime is committed that means something very, very close to them, very intimate to them. And suddenly they might slip out with words like, hanging would be too good for that person. You see, when it comes home to them, when that crime begins to mean something to them personally, then their tune changes. If you could only get a glimpse of what sin means to God, you would understand that as far as God is concerned, there is no possible alternative for sin but the blackness of eternal fire. Oh, my friend, tonight, in God's name, we would like to impress upon you this, that your sin is so terrible. Well, you say, mister, who do you think you're preaching to? A sinner, labeled so by God. Respectable moral religious doesn't change the fact. We would like then to impress upon you this, that your sin is so terrible to God, that there is no possible outcome of your sin that is satisfactory to God, but the eternal darkness of the flames of judgment. The bitterness of sin lies before men and women who will miss heaven, whose long home will be the darkness of hell. My friend, tonight, all that hell will be the aftertaste of the pleasures of sin, the aftertaste of choices to turn away from God, the aftertaste of living by your own self-will. That is the result of sin. Let it be very clearly tonight engraven on every heart. But that long home will not only be a home in which men and women will know sin and its bitterness. But in that long home, I want to speak to you about the sinner and his banishment. Because if it's heaven in this world, just a touch of heaven, to know the Lord Jesus, if heaven will be to be with Him in His home forever, then the awfulness of hell is this, to be banished from Him forever. There are younger ones in the meeting tonight, and you would be a little uneasy if you were for a few minutes, perhaps, or hours separated from your parents.
What will make this place so terrible is not that you will be separated from loved ones. You will be. Even should you drag your nearest and dearest with you to the blackness of eternal fire, you will be separated from them forever. But I want to impress on you tonight that above everything else, you will be banished from the man that loved you and died at Calvary that you might be in heaven. And when his hand shall wave away those who have died without him, a wounded hand will consign them eternally to the darkness of the lake of fire. And when the judge who sits upon his throne shall speak his sentence, then it will be fulfilled what the Lord Jesus himself said, "Depart from me into everlasting fire." And to go away forever from a Savior who loved you and invited you and was placed upon Calvary's cross that you might be drawn to him and drawn to that long home in heaven. What a moment it will be when you realize I will be banished from him forever. Separated from God in my sin, separated from all the goodness of God, I will never taste again a drop of the mercy of God. Separated from all the light and sunshine that speaks of the kindness of God, and my eternal future in my long home is the darkness forever. My friend in the meeting tonight, take one long look. Your imagination won't be able to capture it, and my words come woefully short of a reality. But take a long look tonight down the future eternity in the blackness of banishment from God. No wonder the poet tried to put it in words to convey the truth. Woe is me, for I am benighted. Will this gloom no more be lighted by a blessed row of sunlight that shone in days of yore? Will no dawn be ever breaking? Not the slightest glimmer breaking the impenetrable darkness of this awful, awful doom. Moon and stars, fair lights of morning, shall I see thee no more? Echo answers, nevermore. Oh, the copious cooling waters I tasted of yore, though not a drop ever reach my soul. Nothing of the mercy of God. Nothing of comfort from God. You don't think twice when God gives you your meal. Don't bow to thank him for a glass of water. My friend tonight, remember this, that your long home is a place where there will be absolutely nothing of the kindness of God for you. But I want you to think when you're looking down that long corridor to your eternal home, I want you to think of the sentence and its bleakness. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Away with the false teaching of cults that will tell you that men in a moment will be annihilated from the presence of God. Away from the idea that God is too loving to send men into eternal fire. The Lord Jesus, who was about enough to go to Calvary, said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." Forever. To live in a home, to try to put your head down to rest
and to find out that what the Word of God said is true, they have no rest day nor night. To try to find some comfort and to be reminded of the words of that rich man, he is comforted, but thou art tormented.
To long for some hope and to live down through countless ages with no hope,
no release. It will never change. This is my eternal existence
in the blackness of eternal judgment,
in the pain of everlasting torment. Oh, tonight, my friend, in God's name, awake where you are tonight.
You are living one breath in your long home of everlasting fire.
Heaven is within your reach. Calvary's message draws near once more.
Could I tell you simply and plainly, what you do in the next moment with the Christ who died at Calvary may be accepted by heaven as your final choice for a long home in glory. Or a long home in the inexpressible gloom of hell. Weigh it carefully.
Decide tonight for eternity.
It is heaven or hell, and nothing else in this world matters.
Tonight, look to Calvary. The Word of God comes to you about that Christ who died. Christ also hath once suffered for sins. No need to suffer. He has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to a long home in heaven.
Our Father, we commit thy word to thee tonight and pray thy blessing upon it. We thank thee for the words of light and truth and hope that flow from Calvary. Thank thee for a work that is finished. And we would long, Lord, that there might be some wise enough tonight in light of the evidence of the Word of God to simply say, it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Grant thy blessing then upon the gospel. Grant that its truth tonight might reach and stir and move hearts in this meeting. One thing to preach about these things, but to think, O God, that we have looked into the faces of some listening respectfully to the Word of God tonight, who will look back from an endless hell and wonder why the preaching was so mild, wonder why the Christians left